Who was here last week? Who was here last week? Okay, a few of you. So you probably, those of you who were here last week, probably remember me telling you that this was the first, well, that was the first ever focus talk to be recorded, right? Who remembers me saying that? Yep, I said it like 15 times, so of course you all heard it. Well, guess what? It wasn't, because I discovered there's a pause button. Everyone know what pause means? When you like stop, you know, you're playing something and you stop it. That's a pause button, yes. I discovered there was a pause button. Unfortunately, I discovered it just before I started talking and didn't discover I'd done that until after I'd finished talking. So last week we didn't record. So this week is actually the first, and I'm going to make sure that we're recording. Yes, we are. We're recording. Good. So last week, for those of you who weren't here last week we looked at we looked at the first part of Mark chapter 2. We looked at Jesus who came to heal some people, and he used that healing to prove that he was God. He wasn't just, you know, a great doctor or someone who was able to heal people using magic powers. He proved that he was God. And because he was God, he was able to forgive sins, right? All the things that we've done against God, we've rejected him, we've done things that we wanted to do rather than things that God wanted us to do. All those times we've sinned against God, well, Jesus was able to forgive us for our sins, and he forgave the man for his sins. Today, we're going to see some more healing, but today, Jesus has something very different to tell us. Today's talk is one of God's greatest gifts, the weekend. Who likes the weekend? Who likes the weekend? Okay, Greg, you don't like weekends?
No, so I just keep working.
Okay, so this talk is for Greg, okay? The rest of you probably don't need to hear this. Greg needs to hear this talk right now because it's one of God's gifts, okay? And we're going to see what that means, right? It's, on one hand, it's a rule, right? God said you must keep the Sabbath. And on the other hand, it's a gift. So how does that work out? So we're going to look at that today. Now, who here has a silly rule that you've heard of or you don't like, or a rule you see and every time you laugh at it? Yes, Jamie?
Jinx.
Jinx, okay. Can you explain the jinx rule to us? Jinx.
So when I say jinx, she can't
talk. Yep.
If she talks, I can hit her.
Yep.
Until I say her name three times.
Yep. Yep. And then Catherine can talk again. Yeah. It's a silly sort of rule, right? One rule I saw once a few years ago, I meant to find a picture but I forgot, was you know vending machines? The machines that you put your money in and you can buy Coke or chips or those sort of things, right? Anyway, there was a sign on the side of the vending machine that says, "Do not tip this vending machine. It may cause injury or death." So just for those, any of you there who didn't know that, right? Don't tip over a vending machine because it might end up in death. Okay? So, you know, don't mention anything else, but, you know, death. I thought that was pretty funny. So we're going to look at a few funny rules today. Now, some of you probably think that rules like the jinx rule, you know, it's not very fun. And some of you might think that rules are all about making our lives miserable. You know, like if you're in school, you probably remember your rules. You couldn't eat in the classroom. You had to put your hand up before you speak. You can't call out. Those sorts of things. And some of you who are Christians, or even if you're not a Christian, you might think, well, God has lots of rules, and God has all those rules, just to make life miserable. You know, I don't want to be a Christian because being a Christian means I have to follow lots of rules, and, well, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be a Christian because, well, God makes all these rules, and I don't want to follow those rules. Well, thinking about that, we're going to think about, well, what were the rules? How did God plan things to be originally? Right back at the beginning of the Bible, God put Adam and Eve, the first two humans, in the Garden of Eden. And they had one rule, just one rule. They could eat food from any tree in the whole garden, but they could not eat from the tree in the middle. That's it. God said you can have all the trees. You can eat from any tree you want. Just one rule, don't eat from that one tree. Now, it's not as though they were starving and the other trees weren't good enough or the other trees weren't plentiful enough. No, they still chose to eat from that one tree. He only gave them one rule. Now we fast forward to the next set of rules God gave to his people in the Bible. Now we could discuss them all, but we're just going to discuss one. The rule, don't steal. Okay? Now, some people might think, you know, oh, well, God doesn't want us to steal. God's taking away all our fun. Well, no, see, God doesn't want you not to have anything. It's not that God doesn't want you to have a car, or he doesn't want you to have a computer, or he doesn't want you to have a mobile phone. He wants you to have all those things. He wants you to be happy. So what is God's rule? Don't steal. What does that mean? Well, it means just don't take someone else's phone or someone else's computer. It's that simple. God's not about removing our fun. He wants us to have stuff. He wants us to be happy. But he makes rules to ensure that we get to be happy and as well as everyone else. What about games? Who has a game where it's important to play the rules? Right? You have to play the rules. Yeah, everyone, right? Every game, you have to play the rules, right? If you don't play the rules, it's not fun. Why have rules? Well, because the person who invented the game knew that you needed the rules to play the game the best. Why? Because they invented the game. The person who invents something gets to pick the rules. And they should make the rules because, well, they know the best way to play the game. They know the way it works. They know what is best. So, for example, your mobile phone, right? The instruction manual says, you know, don't put your phone into the water, okay? Pretty simple. Now, is the manufacturer trying to stop you from having fun by giving you rules? No. He's saying, well, if you put it in the water, it's not going to work anymore, is it? They want you to use it. They want you to use it to the best of its ability. You can disobey the rules, but the rule is there for you. The rule is not there to make things less fun. So what am I trying to say? My point is, God didn't make rules to stop us from having fun, to stop us from enjoying our life. God made rules because he made us. He made each and every one of us here. He knows us because he made us. And because he knows us, he knows what is best for us. So he made some rules to help us to be that best. So we're going to look at one example, another one of God's rules. We're going to look at the Sabbath. Now, just to remind you, there's probably a few words you heard in today's Bible reading, and I'll use a few new words as well. Just a reminder, on the inside of your handouts, on the left page, you've got the outline that I'll be going through, and on the right page, you've got a few words that we'll be using today, like Sabbath and synagogue and Son of Man. So if there's a phrase or a word that you hear that you don't really understand, maybe have a quick look in your glossary on the right-hand side. So if one word is Sabbath, Sabbath literally means to rest from labor. And there's a more detailed explanation there in your handout. So the Sabbath day is a day of rest, to rest from labor for a day. The word comes from the Hebrew, and it's from the Old Testament. And its purpose was for the Jewish people to remember God. See, when God first created the world, he created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, the first book of the Bible. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. See, God wasn't tired. He wasn't like, whew, 6 days. That was hard work. I created the whole world. No, he's God, right? But he gave us an example he wants us to follow because he knows that we need rest. So when he was giving the Ten Commandments later on in the Bible, one of them was to remember the Sabbath. In the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Remember, this is one of the rules. This is, I think, third or fourth rule. Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. God wanted us to remember the Sabbath, that he rest that he took on the seventh day, and to dedicate that Sabbath day to the Lord. That is why Christians go to church on Sunday. If you wonder why they go to church on Sunday, well, that is our Sabbath. It's our Sabbath to God. But whenever you have rules, and as you know, whenever we have rules, there are people who like to invent new rules to help you keep the rules. If you were here last week, you heard my example of the homework rule. Your teacher wants you to do your homework. They don't care how you do your homework. But your mother, when you were in high school, well, they may have invented new rules to help you keep the rule of doing your homework. We looked at a group of people called Pharisees who like to do that. They like to invent lots of new rules. The problem with the Pharisees was that, well, their new rules were just as important as the old rules. Now, that's the background to understanding today's story. We've got more Pharisees, and so we're going to see what happened, what rules they were making up today. So going back to today's story, look with me at Mark chapter 2, the first part of the story we heard today. On the Sabbath, he, that is Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and his disciples, that is his students, began to make their way picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" See, already the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of breaking the law of the Sabbath. What does Jesus say in reply? He said to them, "Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also gave some to his companions." What is Jesus telling here? He's telling a story in the Bible about a man who was hungry and needed some food. And so he ate some bread that was supposed to be dedicated to God and was only for special people to eat. And yet David ate that bread. What is Jesus' conclusion? He tells them. And so he told them, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." What is Jesus trying to say here? The Sabbath day of rest wasn't a rule that you have to follow to make God happy. You make God happy by enjoying the day that God has given you. If you're happy, God's happy. Why? Because God knows that you need the rest. And so when you have rest, you appreciate the gift of rest that God has given you. And so you're happy, and that makes God happy. You see what Jesus is saying here? Now, if you think back to what I was saying before about the rules in the games or the instructions for your mobile phone, remember that they were not there to make the game boring or to make your phone hard to use. No, the rules were there so you could enjoy the game the most, so you could use your phone the best. See, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. When he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, what he's saying is, I made the Sabbath for you, for each and every one of you. I invented you, and therefore I know what's good for you. I want you to have what's best. I want everyone to have what's best, so I made this rule for you, to help you. Now I'm going to focus on the second story now, and how the Pharisees wanted to control the Sabbath. So point number three, Pharisees and the Sabbath. Now remember, God created rules for us. But what happened after God created the rules? Well, people came along and wanted to change the original purpose of the rules. Some Pharisees came along and they started to classify what was rest and what was work. And if it was rest, therefore it was okay, and if it was work, it was not okay to do on the Sabbath. So there were rules like you can walk a certain distance or do a certain thing and that would be counted as rest, but you couldn't do other things because that would be work. A lot of Sabbath rules came about because of one extra detail with the Sabbath rule, and where it says you cannot light a fire on the Sabbath. So if you're a Jew today, I'm not sure there's any Jews here today, but if you're someone who is a Jew and believes in the Old Testament, as a result of the Sabbath rules, anything to do with lighting a fire is banned. So in our modern day, Jewish people don't light fires. Well, they don't really light fires in their house, so it's not really a problem. But there are many other ways that you can build a fire or light a fire. That still needs to be banned. So I thought I'd do some research and find out what some of these things might be. And I've got here some a modern Jewish Sabbath. This is from the internet, so it's very new, okay? So Orthodox Judaism, that's like traditional, literally means right, but we'll call it traditional. Judaism forbids travel by automobile, which is a car, on the Sabbath. Whereas Reform Judaism permits it. So even within Judaism, you've got different people who interpret the rules differently. Conservative Judaism, so they're the ones who take the rules most strictly, has differing views on this question, but generally permits travel by automobile on the Sabbath solely for the purpose of attending synagogue. So synagogue is like church for Jewish people, so they can drive only if they're going to the church or the synagogue. The basic legal question, so the rule behind the rule, regarding the switching on of electric lights is whether the non-combustive type of burning produced by electricity falls under the prohibition of making a fire or any of the other prohibitions. So a light, to turn on a light, well, that's sort of making a fire. And so you're not allowed to make a fire, so some people say, well, you can't turn on a light. I will continue. Orthodox Jews refrain from the use of electrical appliances on the Sabbath, so they can't use anything electrical, okay? With the exception of the refrigerator, which may be opened or closed on the grounds that any electrical current produced in the process is incidental and without express intention. So by opening the fridge door, you're not making the fridge turn on, it's already running, so you're not making a fire, the fire was already going, or something like that, I'm not exactly sure. It has, however, become the practice for observant Jews to use electrical appliances on the Sabbath, which are operated by time switches set before the Sabbath. So if they wanted to watch the TV, they can't go and press the TV on button, because that would be making a fire, but the timer can turn the TV on for them and have the TV on all day. You see what I'm trying to say? There's rules, and it's like, right, okay, so I've got to obey the rule, I can't start a fire, but I want to watch TV. Okay, I'll have a timer to turn on the TV for me, right? Okay, so that's from the internet. There's proof, okay? And this is from a Jewish website, okay? This is not some person trying to make a joke. This is from a Jewish website. This is my favorite, though. This is my favorite, okay? The Sabbath elevator, right? I'm not sure if you can read the sign on the left. As a courtesy to our guests of the Jewish faith, South Building Elevator Number 9 will operate automatically during the Sabbath. And you can see here the Sabbath controls here. This lift is on Sabbath mode, and this lift is not Sabbath mode. And the reason for that, well, they can't call the lift. They can't press the button to make the lift come. And even if the lift was open and they walked inside, well, they can't press the buttons to select what level they want to go to. So what do they do? Well, someone invented an elevator that stops on every level automatically. Gets to the top and then goes down. See, that's what happens when you have rules. You get people who want to work around the rules. They can't press a light switch or press any sort of switch that makes electricity flow because that's sort of like building or it's sort of like making a fire. Now, these elevators, you probably won't see one of these elevators in Sydney because they only are usually in areas with very high populations of Jewish people. Now, who here is like me thinking, you know, God's in heaven, thinking, yep, that's exactly what I wanted. Yep, I wanted people to take elevators without pressing buttons. That's exactly what I meant when I said, don't build a fire. Right? No. Okay, you might think it's a bit weird for me to be impersonating God. But no, God didn't make the rule so we could obey the rule to keep him happy. No, God made the rule for us. I don't think God wants us to invent new ways of not lighting fires, but still doing what we want to do. So, anyway, we'll go back to today's story. We're looking at, first, at two parts. The first was how Jesus' students or disciples were upsetting the Pharisees by picking some grain as they walked through the field when they were hungry. In the second story, the Pharisees know that there's a man with a shriveled hand, and they want to see if they can catch Jesus by healing someone on the Sabbath. Okay, another time, he, that is Jesus, went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." See, the Pharisees, they're trying to catch Jesus. How? Well, they want to see if Jesus will do work on the Sabbath by healing the man. So what does Jesus say? Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Good idea too. I mean, if you were in their shoes and Jesus asked you that question, would you say good? But then they couldn't catch him because they didn't want him to heal. But of course you can't say evil because that's just stupid, right? So what happens next? He looked around at them, that is Jesus. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. That's their first response. Jesus has done a great miracle here. You know, the man had a shriveled hand. We don't know exactly what was wrong with the hand, but it was obviously diseased or something. And Jesus healed it. So is that work? Is that working against God's commandment to rest, to have a Sabbath? See, this is the argument with the Pharisees. Their rules were so strict. They kept their rules so strictly. They would rather see a man suffer from his disability rather than be healed. Can you imagine if you were there and, you know, a man was healing miracles and you say, sorry, Jesus, no, see, we have these rules and, yeah, you can't, like, heal people. It's just silly. See, they would have preferred Jesus to come back tomorrow. You know, you can heal any other day. That's okay. Look, come back and do your amazing God miracles any other day, you know, but just not today, please, you know. But they're forgetting that he is God. He isn't just some doctor who's healing, who's, you know, working in a hospital and should be at home resting. No, he's showing that he's God. He's showing his power, his love, and his mercy by healing the sick man. And then to add injury to the insult, in verse 6, not only are they upset, but they want to kill him. Now, I hope you don't want anyone to think that I'm insulting people, either the Pharisees or any Jewish people. I'm just trying to make fun of things that I think are a little bit silly or a bit funny. Some of you might think, you know, I don't think it's very good to laugh at other people, but who thinks it's funny when Australians say Australia? Right? Australia. Yeah, okay. The Credo president says it really good, right? She goes, Australia. Yeah, it's really good. Right, we don't say Australia. We turn the L-I-A into a ya. I don't know why. That's just what we do. And it's pretty funny, right? So you can laugh at that. And the same thing when we teach you from, what I'm trying to say is I don't want us to obey rules in the Bible or read the Bible just because we have to or because someone says we have to. I want us to understand why something is there. Why is this story here? What is Jesus trying to say? Why is it important and why should we follow it? The same with anything we teach from the Bible for the rest of this semester or in our small groups. We want everyone to know why it's there. What's so important about it? We would never ask you to follow something blindly. We'd never say, right, here's a rule, you must follow the rule. No, we'll always tell you what's behind it. We want you to understand it for yourself. We want you to believe it for yourself. That's why everyone was given a Bible today when they walked in. We encourage you to read it. And if you don't understand something, well, please ask questions and we'll be happy to look at the answers with you. Now, before we go, I have one more illustration I want to show you. Here is my wedding cake. Isn't it pretty? It's actually a real cake, okay, made by a friend who's very good at making cake. And the little penguins on the top. And that's actually an iceberg. Because the first movie I saw with my now wife, Clara, was Happy Feet. Anyone seen Happy Feet? Yeah, the penguins who dance and tap and stuff instead of singing. Anyway, so we liked Happy Feet, so we wanted a penguin cake. Now, and we're going to have a cake today. I'm not sure if you know, but we have a cake. My wife made a cake for us today, so it's very good. And if you don't think it's very good, then tell someone else, okay? So And we're going to celebrate today anyone who had a birthday in January, February, or March. And that includes me. My birthday was on Monday. So we're going to have a celebrate birthdays today. Now imagine, so we're going to give you some cake. But imagine when I gave you the cake, delicious chocolate cake made by my wife. But I said to you, okay, before you have the cake, there's rules on how to eat the cake. And so we're going to look at some rules. Imagine we did this, right? I'm not going to do this, but imagine that we were doing this, right? Okay, so rule number one, no chocolate allowed on cake. And you all fail because it's a chocolate cake. Rule number two, you can only eat cake on Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Saturdays. Oh man, you can't have cake today, can you? Right? Now remember, if you disobey the rule, I'm going to punish you. Okay? Any disobedience, you'll be punished. Okay? So you're going to fail rule one and two. Rule number three, you can only eat cake between 4 o'clock and 4:15 p.m. So you've got to take your cake with you, but then you can't eat it today, right? It's just, anyway. Rule number four, spoons only, no forks. Okay, no one's allowed to eat any cake with a spoon. Okay, no, with a fork, only spoons. See, now you're getting legalistic. See, you're trying to bend the rules, aren't you? Right? Oh, but it's sort of a spoon, but it's not really a fork, right? It's a spork, right? Everyone, a spork, you'll see what a spork is because you'll get a spork, okay? And cream only, no ice cream. No ice cream allowed on this cake, right? Oh, yeah, and the last rule, most important rule, is you have to enjoy it, okay? And we're going to punish you if you disobey any of these rules, especially the last rule. See, that's like our story today. Before Jesus, people had to follow the rules on the Sabbath. They had to follow hundreds of other rules, and they didn't really understand why. They were following the rules because they felt they had to. Well, Jesus came into the world to obey all the rules, and he did obey all the rules. But not only did Jesus obey all the rules, all the times when we disobey the rules, when we do things that God doesn't want us to do, when we reject God, well, Jesus takes all the punishment for that disobedience. All the punishment we deserved, Jesus takes that punishment on himself. Jesus came not only to fulfill the rules for us, but he came to take our punishment. And all we have to do is believe in Jesus. So if Jesus is like a cake, we don't have to fulfill all the rules about eating the cake. We just have to accept and enjoy the cake. The Sabbath is God's gift. He knows how good it is. He knows we need it. He knows we want it. So he gives it to us as a good gift. All we need to do is accept the gift to enjoy it. Let's not follow God's rules because we have to. Let's see them as they are. They're a gift from God. They're advice on how to live in his world. Remember, he created us. He knows how we work. He knows what's best for us. They're advice on how to live in this world that he's created for us. Let's follow God's rules not because we have to, but because we get to. Hopefully today you've learned the importance of a few rules in the Bible, but I think you can apply this framework to pretty much all the rules that we have in the Bible. They're not there to remove fun from your life. They're there because God made us. He knows how we work. He knows what's best for our lives and how we can live our lives to the full. I'm just going to pray now. If you want to close your heads and close your eyes, bow your heads with me as I pray. Dear God, we thank you that you created us. We thank you that you created this lovely world and that you put us in this world to enjoy it. We thank you for the rules that you've created. We thank you that you give us guidelines that we can live by so we can enjoy this world the most. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand your rules, that you'd help us to understand why you gave them, and you'd help us, most importantly, to obey them. We know that there are times when we struggle to obey the rules. We thank you that you sent Jesus, not just to give us more rules, but to obey all the rules. And so when there's times when we disobey, that our punishment that we deserve has been taken by Jesus. And all we need to do is accept Jesus and we are forgiven. We thank you that for your instructions today. We pray that we would not be trying to follow rules to try and keep you happy, knowing that we will always fail. But we just pray that you would help us. Pray that we try to be more and more like Jesus, and help us to enjoy the rules, knowing that you created them for our good. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.